Good morning, Shirley McKenzie.
Morning, Alex.
Excellent. What's the time now?
It is 8:02.
But even more important, it's time for the weather forecast from Gibraltar for Lincoln with Gabriella Peralta. Gabriella, the microphone, the airwaves are yours.
Good morning. Today's weather is highs of 4 degrees centigrade, lows of 1 degree centigrade. It will be a sunny day but the remaining day will be cold.
Live from Gibraltar. With or without
it was going so well until we crashed into the actual line there. Never mind.
It's midweek drive, morning edition.
Okay, thank you very much.
I meant to say it was sunny spells and then remaining cold.
You see, this is it. And then we could actually be into the occult. We could be into witchcraft. I don't know. I mean, what kind of spell are we talking about here? Never mind. Let's give you your jingle the full 11 seconds of glory it deserves.
Live from Gibraltar. With or without her faithful friend Frodo, it's time for Gabriella Peralta on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
I blame the mince pies. Do you have mince pies in Gibraltar, or is it a case of, for goodness sakes, you know, it's far too cold for mince pies, or too warm?
Yeah, we do have mince pies. I'm not a big fan of them,
right,
but they are popular.
Right.
Marks and Spencer's always sell them.
Really? Because one of our early midweek drivers who's heading back to Italy today, Rebecca Duncan, never actually had encountered the mince pie.
Did she like it?
She did say yes, it was very good.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. Indeed, Christine, who also accompanied her as a kind of escort come bodyguard on her first show, had an interesting line because she only likes the pastry in the mince pie. She just eats the pastry and leaves the contents.
Girl after my own heart.
There we are. So anyway, at least the good news is, Shaylee, you got the whole box of chocolates to yourself this morning, so you know, nobody to sort of hug the whole thing there. So, and we'll send you yours, obviously, metaphorically, Gabriella, because clearly, you know, you should have just stopped off on your route from Manchester. So what's the state of play with Frodo then?
He is very awake this morning. He sat beside me on his snowman blanket, because we're, you know, Christmas themed now. Mm-hmm. But very crazy this morning. Woke me up, you know, didn't stop making noise, and he's finally calmed down now that he just now, because he's on his blanket. If he'd called me 5 minutes before, he would have been, you would have heard him in the background snorting.
I don't know, the sort of thought of a snorting pug is something which perhaps maybe the world isn't ready for. Anyway, it's delighted to know that we've been collectively celebrating 4 years of friendship on Facebook this week, Gabriella.
Yes.
Oh, well done, guys.
Exactly. And they said it wouldn't last. Oh, well, never mind. Moving on from that point of view, I've just posted all of the photos yesterday from the choir and selfies and so on, so they're online, you can see that.
The choir was very good.
I decided to not delete, but I didn't use the one with your tongue out. It's tempting though it was, I thought, no. I think, yeah, you've got to bear in mind.
You can have that for your own personal collection.
I just sort of work into a different line there. And there's something with respect to social media, you have to be quite careful in terms of the image you project, etc. I just thought, no, maybe
not. A picture says 1,000 words.
Well, I just thought, you know, it's not that for the body.
Also, Frodo has a snowman blanket. That is adorable.
Yeah, he also has a bed with a pug's face on it.
No, he doesn't.
So, yes, he does. When he sits on his bed, it's two pugs. And he also has a jumper of a Christmas pudding. So, you know, when you put it on, you get to have the joy of a Christmas pudding walking around the house.
I mean, that could be quite scary if you actually
see photographic evidence of that.
I mean, have these been posted as yet on the
he's got an Instagram, so I post some things there. He's got an Instagram called at Lord Frodo the Pug, and that's where I put mainly his pictures because I just thought if I inundate everyone on Facebook with pictures of him,
true,
it's going to get a bit annoying. So, and then I saw posting pictures of him on my Instagram and he was getting more likes than me. I thought, this can't be. So I made his own one so that at least he could be separate and he could take his own, you know, he didn't have to take the shine away from my Instagram.
Well, I mean, this is true. So at Lord Frodo the Pug. And yes, yeah. I'm looking at it now. And well, what can you say?
I love the tagline, follow Frodo on a journey where there will always be a second breakfast.
Yes, he loves food.
That second breakfast, it's a bit like, well, it is, of course, it's the equivalent to the Bagginses and the Hobbinses, etc. Mm-hmm. Second breakfast, the most important meal of the day. It's amazing.
Yes.
Well, there we are. Yes, but incidentally, in case you're wondering, Sam Stone and David J. Howe wrapped up the thing perfectly last night, and I kind of finally got back in around about 11:30 after all sorts of other bits and pieces. So it's the kind of the you know, we're still here, you know, relatively bright and shiny. And they just hate it when radio presenters say, oh, woe is me, I was out partying or like, etc. No, we're not going to have that. I mean,
the party never ended.
Well, anyway, so, I mean, as I say, we have Fiona Phillips coming up later, so she'll be talking about a variety of other bits and pieces as well, I'm sure. Okay, moving on. What does the rest of the day have in store for yourself, Gabriella? Will you be checking out the latest Star Wars movie, as indeed Richard Fitzwilliams has? I'm going to say he likes it. I think he will. I think he'll say he likes it.
Yeah.
No, my boyfriend's going with his friends, but I've never properly watched the Star Wars films, so I'm missing it.
Well,
I'm going on Saturday to a little 1940s cinema called Kinema in the Woods.
Ooh. Are they actually screening Star Wars?
Sounds
then?
Lovely.
They are indeed. It's
they become, have the rights to do that.
Yeah, it's become a bit of a tradition with me and my boyfriend. This is the third year in a row now we've gone to that cinema to watch the new Star Wars.
Well, there we are. Well, of course, next year's going to be very confusing because the Han Solo movie is released in May.
Exactly.
Very confusing. Steve Sharp's arrived. Yay!
He's not in Leeds.
We don't have to say sort of various snidey comments like saying, oh, he's a musician.
Where is he?
He's in Leeds. He's obviously. He was outside the door all the time.
I feel bad now.
We just couldn't see him. You see, the thing is, Gabriella, when you were here, you could solve such problems by simply waving at the window. No.
Yeah. Can't do that now.
No.
I was given a key, I think, as well.
Yeah.
So I could just
walk in. She had a key to the house.
Indeed. She was way up there. She had her swipe card. No messing about in any way, shape, or form. But no, I mean, current sort of state of play is we do still have windows, and they open up to a vista of a British workmanship at its finest and the construction industry effectively at full, flat-out phenomena, really, with their own sort of tympanic drumming as well. Although they seem to start for Christmas again, probably because they're waiting for the new year.
I did notice the lack of noise.
You can't work too hard. It's got
the tinnitus in my ears has gone now.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm very well. How is yourself?
Good. Welcome back to the second Midweek Drive Morning Edition for yourself, of course.
Yes.
Very good. And as I say, Richard Fitzwilliams coming up next. I think it's also fair to say, Steve, you're not really a Star Wars fan, are you?
I can't say because I've never seen him, so I don't know if I'll be a fan or not. Yeah.
This is why I'm leaving his office.
This is why we're no longer outside last week.
Exactly.
Because you don't like Star Wars.
You know, I'm already so shifting the books of the text. I'm moving. I mean, when you say,
Alex
yeah.
is done with you, Steve.
Do you know what? I woke up this morning and I thought I'm going to get so much rubbish from not even seeing Star Wars today.
No,
where's the May the 4th?
Well.
So anyway...
Exactly. There's always that embarrassing Christmas moment. It's usually over the sprouts, really, but never mind. It's okay. We can cope with that. Shaylee, go for it. Last two questions for Gabriella Peralta and Frodo. And, of course, are you an Instagram person, Steve?
I do have Instagram, but I haven't used it in a fair while.
So actually, following at Lord Frodo the Pug, it's not really going to happen, is it?
I've already followed him.
I might break it, though.
He's getting his mobile out. He's getting his watch device out.
I have it. Yes, I've got the notification.
This will be the 275th follower if Steve follows Frodo.
Wait, what was the name again?
At Lord Frodo the Pug.
Lord Frodo.
This is what you call really using social media in the way it was meant to be used, one person at a time. Exactly.
I need to update him more now.
If you're going to be faced in the Peralta household with seeing a pug dressed as a Christmas pudding wandering around the house,
that's the only photo I want to see.
I'm going to put it up now, actually. I'll put it up because I've got it on my personal Instagram, but I'll put it up on his. Well, it's a really cute picture.
Amazing. That is a serious.
You've made
serious
my morning. Yeah,
I found him.
Exactly.
I'm going to put it up right now, actually, as soon as we finish. So
could be an image of your next office. Buddy Steve, I just brought that out
God.
There. Yeah, exactly.
I would not mind.
Exactly.
Well,
here we are. We finally managed to find something which Steve Sharp, musician and drummer extraordinaire, has actually sort of liked and has taken on board. Okay, last two questions then. Go for it.
Gabriella, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
Yes, I have. Thank you. And so, Frodo.
Nice. And can we rely on you for next week?
Yes, definitely.
I feel it's made those last 4 years of social media friendship and the 2 or 3 years before that, you know, really just worthwhile, as you said yourself, actually, to many more years with it. It's just relentless. I mean, I know Emma Tinson's back next week, but, you know, at the end of the day, we'll work some way of accommodating both, I'm sure. It's just great. Once a midweek drive out, always a midweek drive out. Unless, of course, you don't watch Star Wars. Never mind.
Snowman was a jolly, happy soul with a corn cob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal. Frosty, the snowman is a fairy.
Heartrending tale of Frosty the Snowman. I wonder if you could say the same thing about BB-8. Maybe, maybe not. Richard Fitzwilliams, welcome to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, the penultimate Midweek Drive Morning Edition of 2017. We've got one more next week, and then, in essence, it'd be New Year's honours and things and such like.
When do we actually recommence in the new year?
Well, I would anticipate, with due diligence and fortitude, and assuming the force is actually with us, the next Midweek Drive Morning Edition, in terms of 2018, will be concerned, should be the day after the London Boat Show. That should be, or the second day of the London Boat Show, which will be Thursday, the 11th of January.
The 11th, good heavens, what a break.
We might do a bonus podcast in Betwixt Times, as we've been known to do in the past, but as far as the...
Yes, a review of the year, perhaps.
As always, you know, it's there's nothing wrong with doing a review of the year. It's not simply the last bastion of programmers who've basically lost any will to live and just say, what should we do? Oh, it's the end of the year. Let's do a review of the year. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, it's been a fascinating year in that respect, but...
Don't mention the wedding again, Richard. We had too much of that last week. We could please...
Well, I wasn't going to. Actually, I was going to mention the Golden Globes, which didn't, I have to say, for a terrific British input, get a great deal of press. A lot was happening that day, including the problem in New York, and subsequently I didn't see a huge amount in the press, and there was a lot to celebrate with Dunkirk, with so many top films and a large number of British performers. Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which we will come to doing well, and Get Out being mentioned, nominated, I have to say, in the music or comedy category. I mean, the Globes play fast and loose with these because The Martian was Ridley Scott's movie, was considered a comedy, which I disagree with, I have to say. And I Get Out, the horror movie, chilling indeed, but an interesting, a very, very unusual categorization there. Also, Greta Gerwig's Lady Bird. I haven't seen it, but I have to say, I do absolutely adore her, and I think it's marvellous to see that it's getting so much recognition. And I'm looking forward tonight to seeing Gary Oldman in Darkest Hour playing Churchill, and I'm told he's even better than John Lithgow. I can't believe it.
Well, it is Gary Oldman, of course. Sit Nancy and much more. Shaylee is going to be heading off to see Star Wars, The Last Jedi, in a matter of, what, 48 hours from now?
Yes, I'm so excited.
48 hours from now. Steve Sharp has no intention of going to see the Star Wars movie, but he knows all about it because he's listened to all the spoilers on radio and various...
Oh, no, that is scandalous. Any spoiler should be condemned. Totally.
I agree, Richard. I agree.
I mean, what should happen? What, Shaylee, do you believe should happen to those who either listen to spoilers intentionally or, in fact, are responsible for them?
They shouldn't get any Christmas presents at all.
That's right.
Straight on the naughty list.
Alex was straight in there. I was going to say we just shouldn't be friends. So.
No, well, I mean, that's true too, because it ruins it for so many people. There shouldn't be
Yes,
any
Steve.
Anywhere.
So keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything.
Well, there are going to be no spoilers in this review that I'm giving because, I mean, this galaxy far, far away has such vast appeal. You've got the timeless battle between good and evil. You've got the popularity, the fascinating characters, and in this case, a lot of very intriguing and rather disarming creatures populating its universe. And, of course, there's the global success with its merchandise. But the charm of the original in 1977 is completely unique. Well, I think everybody agrees that George Lucas, in many of the movies that he made, prequels, sequels, he seemed to lose his touch. And J.J. Abrams rescuing it with The Force Awakens, and absolutely no doubt at all that this is a movie that is it's intended to give the fans what they want. And there are going to be absolutely no spoilers. I'm simply mentioning that the Ruthless First Order, led by Supreme Leader Snoke, Andy Serkis, very, very good, is attempting to destroy the remains of the Resistance, led by General Leia Organa, played by Carrie Fisher, alas, her last role. How can this be prevented? And what happens when the Jedi Luke Skywalker, played by Mark Hamill, trains Rey, played by Daisy Ridley, when she comes into conflict with Kylo Ren, played by Adam Driver, who leans towards the dark side of the Force? This is what is before us. Will it live up to the expectations of the fans? Every indication is that the fans are absolutely thrilled by this movie, which is also a tribute to Carrie Fisher. And I noticed one thing that I particularly liked, and that is it introduces us to this marvelous collection of monsters and a rather cute new one, which I think you'll find very, very endearing. A popular cast, Andy Serkis, I particularly mentioned, and I hope the Oscars at some point can include him in the Best Actor category in some way, because he does such wonderful work. It is a critic-proof movie. I must mention several flaws. The psychology of much of it, with soaring music and close-ups. I'm particularly referring to Kylo Ren and Rey and their interplay, so as to speak. I thought was portrayed in a way that it didn't have the drama that it might. A wonderful opening battle sequence. I would mention for me that the action sequences often don't make sense thereafter, because I love a movie that, this was particularly the case with Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, where the action sequences, this was very much a sort of war movie, do make sense or make a certain amount of sense. But it's colourful, visually it's amazing, and the only judgment really that matters here is a franchise, once on its knees, has magic again, which will keep the Force alive for further fascinating journeys into the future. And I think almost everyone who sees it is going to get a lot out of it, a great deal of it, and the admirers, the fans, that's who it's made for, will absolutely love it.
So, episode 8, clearly a thumbs up from that perspective.
Oh, very clearly. I mean, there's no doubt I was lucky to see it in the IMAX, and that is definitely the place that you want to see it.
It's at the two extremes, isn't it? There's Richard at the IMAX and you in the cinema in the woods.
Yes, amazing. It's polar opposites.
I'm personally actually waiting to see it on my mobile phone.
Darren Aronofsky, actually, you're quoting perversely from him. He actually said, if you download my movies on your mobile, I don't care, just as long as you've got the experience. Quentin Tarantino changed... literally, he was outraged by this comment, and Christopher Nolan too, as you know, has been making a stand about how you see movies, but you deliberately mentioned that to get my response.
But isn't it like eating a cream egg? It's up to the individual, really. I mean, some people might sort of say that we like that sort of nice teeny-weeny sort of screen that's actually held in front of us from that point.
Oh, no, this is the whole point, and this is the reason that today you adroitly brought this up, because of the reported merger between Fox and Disney. This will be, if it takes place, very, very
big. You could have Mulder and Scully and Mickey Mouse and Iron Man and Luke Skywalker and the original Lionel Newman returns to the whole system. What's not to love?
Well, not to love, I think that the threat from Netflix and Amazon is very real. I think that's the reason for it. But if it takes place, I mean, these are as you know, rumours, but that's what's behind it.
Well, it's what you call media conglomeration. Will it lead to a stronger world? Who knows? Maybe Jake Gyllenhaal will actually talk about Donnie Darko and move on.
Yes, this is a... I thought it was a very touching film. It's directed by David Gordon Green, and it's based on the true story. And we meet Jeff Barman. It's based on his book. Jake Gyllenhaal plays him, works at a deli, lives with his alcoholic mother. Fine performance by Miranda Richardson. And his girlfriend finds him frustrating because she feels he has a lack of commitment. And Erin, who's played by Tatiana Maslany, is running in the fateful Boston Marathon, for which Jeff is raising money. As he watches, a bomb goes off, and tragically, both his legs are amputated. And this is another of these films. I say another. I found it very moving and I liked it. But it hasn't drawn in the audiences, possibly because there are a very large number of films dealing with various forms of disability, and The Courageous Breathe being a recent one, the fight against polio, perhaps over many for an audience. But it's a really touching story, because this is someone who's made a hero because he's able to give police a description of the bomber, and he nonetheless suffers from extreme trauma, and also there is always the temptation of drink, and also whether or not his girlfriend feels that he's doing all he can to exercise on his prosthetics and fight this dreadful disability. It's a film that I thought was touching, and Gyllenhaal gives an excellent performance. In fact, all the performances I thought were very good. They're echoes of, do you remember Rust and Bone, a very powerful movie also dealing with the question of amputation, Marion Cotillard and Matthias Gunhardt. And I, again, possibly, as I say, rather many films on the sort of topic for the public who've not, I fear, gone to see this movie, but it's well filmed. It's a powerful story. It's a true story. And I was very touched by it. And I was disappointed Jake Gyllenhaal didn't, in fact, get a nomination at the Globes, but who knows, the Oscars coming up. I mean, to some extent, it's been occasionally thought that actors go for the sort of movie because Oscar has a weakness for this type of thing. One thinks of Sigourney Weaver in Snowflake, for example, though that didn't work. But, I mean, it has, over the years, there have been a large number of actors who've been nominated for Oscars in these sort of roles. And I think Jake Gyllenhaal does very, very well here. I thought it was a very, very good film. It was very touching. And you've got this extraordinary battle with disability after a ghastly tragedy.
Steve, will you be checking out Jake Gyllenhaal and Stronger?
It actually looks pretty good from the trailer that we've just watched. Oh. It looks pretty gripping and obviously based on true events and stuff as well, so...
Yeah. Much like Star Wars, of course, it's just, you know, it's a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And Shaylee?
Yeah, no, it looks really, really interesting. And I always like it when it's based on a true story because I feel like it gives it an element of reality.
Exactly, like Star Wars.
And also the problem being when, you know, you've got this dreadful personal conflict, when you've had an injury like that, a dreadful tragedy, and you're made... as they do, making a hero of him, and constantly post-traumatic stress disorder affects him, and that too has to be fought. So you know, the one problem leads to further difficulties. It's a film I would recommend, and I do think Jake Gyllenhaal's an excellent actor. We've seen him doing so much good work in the past.
Splendid. Next week, for the final Midweek Drive morning edition of the year, Phil Leonis has said he's going to try and join us once again, midnight in Los Angeles. And I think it'll probably be that Christmas challenge where we start talking about predictions between yourself. It's effectively, Steve, the annual traditional Leonis Fitzwilliams battle.
Yes. Shall I gear up for the predictions?
Gird those loins, sir.
Remember, he has the advantage that he's seen more of movies than me.
Yeah, but he's American. You're British. Come on now. You know.
I know. But he's also, of course, based in Hollywood, where they've seen Lady Bird, and I haven't yet, despite efforts. I have seen I, Tonya. That's just the recent one, Darkest Hour this evening. He might not have seen that.
There's always that sort of chance of just go where the force leads you, Richard. You know, that's
yes, indeed. And I have to say, thank goodness for Star Wars, in the sense that if it had been left to George Lucas, I really think, despite all the tributes to a creator, that it would have decayed.
Are you saying, Richard, that Jar Jar Binks doesn't appear in The Last Jedi?
I was avoiding mention of that creature.
That's it, then.
That did
the
more
whole franchise
harm.
Is dead to me.
That did more harm than anything else, I
How
think.
How rude!
Oh, no, you mustn't. That's a terrible thing to attempt to imitate. Only you would think of doing that.
I mean, I could only ask Shirley to put those last two questions to you, Dan.
I can't. I'm laughing too much. That's hilarious.
Oh, well, it is Christmas. Go.
Carry Richard,
on.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
Yes, but I never thought I'd try and imitate Jar Jar.
That's made your day. Hilarious. You know it has.
Oh, it has. I mean,
I'm getting a floppy ear as well. I'm getting full Jar Jar Binks realignment surgery in the near future, hopefully.
He enjoys these little surprises, but that one, I have to admit, completely caught me off guard.
Love it. Never a dull moment.
No, you don't want dullness.
Just as well the rehearsals worked for the show, all I can say, you know, that time, it pays off.
And can we rely on your good self for next week?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I shall miss the gap between that and the 11th.
Don't worry, Richard, it's only once a year.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time of the year.
Ah, yes. Win in the Manchester Derby 4-0 last night. David Silver on good form. It is the most wonderful time of the year. I wonder how Newcastle United are doing, Shirley. I mean, I think they're playing. They had the 125th anniversary, which they celebrated by deciding to give Leicester all 3 points over the weekend. And
nice.
I think they've actually helped. I think they've helped Wayne Rooney actually score again, which is so. You must be very happy then, Ian.
Oh yes, I had a great time.
He sounds deflated.
Oh, no, never mind. You've got how many points now? It's 15, I think they actually have. City 49. So it's all relative, you know. It's still just December, so all's good with the world. Anyway, moving on. How are you, Ian? Apart from
not too good actually. I slipped on the ice on the way to the match last night, and
that's
myself a bit. But
you
mind.
See, this is why you just shouldn't go to see the Toon Army. You know, I mean, I trust that Amanda Staveley will actually sort of fork out several million to actually ease your pain.
Yes, I hope so.
Yeah. I'll put the word in now, and hopefully she. I mean, after all, she did broker the deal, which actually saw Sheikh Mansour take over at the Etihad. So who knows what the future could have in store for Newcastle United? You know, possibly Conference League football in about 4 or 5 years. No. Anyway, life continues. How's the?
Are you going to continue like this for about 10 minutes?
Richard, please. Sometimes you've just got to ease past the pain. Face your fears.
There's one thing worse than a bad loser. It's a bad winner.
Listen. Do you want some milk or do you want some water? What do you want? Milk or water? Water or milk? That's all. It's a different line of time. Shaylee, how's the bare knuckle reading coming on?
Really good. Mm-hmm. I'm nearly done.
So what sort of stage, you know, spoiler-free zone, etc., have you reached in this awesome text, which I can actually announce now, will be our sister station Southside Broadcasting's official book of the month for January.
Oh, nice. And rightly so.
Analysed with Jenny Finch, Rob Nichols, and various other sort of folk, etc. It will be the first book of the month of 2018.
So. That's really exciting. Yeah. Is this a regular thing?
Well, the book of the month is, yes. Yeah. Every month, usually, we sort of select a text. That's why we have that as the title of the programme.
I shouldn't encourage
you.
Your facetiousness is duly noted, Alex.
No, that's quite.
The question I was actually going to ask Ian was, do Ollie and Obo have an Instagram page?
Nice.
I haven't, no. As Lennox will tell you, I'm computer literate, really. And I'm not even sure what an Instagram is.
Well, they need to get on Instagram because Frodo the Pug has an Instagram and it is adorable.
Think of it as Telegram and Instant, okay? Telegram used to be...
What does it do, though? What do you do with it?
Well, you look at it. You like it. You actually set up accounts like at Lord Frodo the Pug. Plug again. And you know, it's instant. And you can say, for a moment, there's a little bit of happiness in your world. Maybe just a microsecond. But, you know, whenever you sort of feel...
But you need that. You need that.
As a Newcastle United supporter, he just needs that. Exactly. You know, it's the line.
He's going to go on about this, isn't he? Really is. He's not happy enough that Manchester City have got a very good side and look like...
How to alienate friends.
Well, It
is City. We'll just have to see how things develop. As we did last night, actually, Ian, because I was very tempted. Should I get Ian Lennox in as a judge for the whole song contest that we actually had?
Well, I feel like he would... who do you think he would have voted for?
Well, not
by
Alex,
the way, I know Rosie
was singing.
Ian, please. What? I'm not sure. I mean, technically, we should play all three. I tell you what, shall we do the medley?
We do
the sort of medley and then see which one of those. Because normally, I think
Steve can give his opinion.
Ian usually tunes out after about 30 seconds of the song. In any case, where he says, you know, it's not going through the speakers. And it's just what they probably goes and makes some stuff, etc. So, we'll give you the sort of 2 minute. There are three songs in this, Ian, and just let us know whether you want the first, second, or third. Which one you think you would have actually voted for that? Awesome title of the Midweek Drive Christmas Song 2017. I mean, the emotions were running so high yesterday.
Are we getting about 10 seconds of each, then?
No, about 30 seconds, actually.
30 seconds of each, right?
Yeah, okay.
I can hold my concentration that long, I think.
Sometimes the attention span, it's like a goldfish.
I've got a butterfly mind, you know.
Well, you know, that's the mark of a true creator. And just so you actually have the names, we start off with Mr. Sledge. Actually, it's probably Mr. Sledge's daughter who technically starts us off. No, not there, right there. Just go away. Then we have Carol Lawler with Envy of Angels. And then we have Rosie Nimmo with Being a Child in the Snow. Okay. So all three wrapped up here. And then, as I say, we'll see which one Ian would have actually said, I'd like that one. And see if he's actually got, you know, that facility that he had so well for so many years at Tyne Tees Television of being actually in touch with the word on the street.
Still on fire, the sky is always brighter when it rains. Heart's desire, but not too late to blow away the shame, laugh away the hopeless, talk away the tears, dancing around the shadows, dancing around the years, and be of angels, stars from above, living the dream that every age. Slipping and sliding in the snow, and you know it won't last. Soon it will go. Laughing out loud, it's a snowball fight. You're a big kid again, sure feels right.
And there they were, all three reprise there. The tension was so palpable you could cut it quite literally with a knife yesterday, I felt. And then
everyone was not arguing, but definitely...
They were in the moment. Yeah. They were in the moment. Well, so potentially a career at stake here, which was a classic. Ian, which one would you have gone for?
I think the second one.
Interesting. Interesting.
Drummer extraordinaire Steve Sharp.
I liked the second one, and I had apparently the exact same comment as you. Sounds very Stevie Nicks.
Very Stevie Nicks.
But I kind of like the first one.
Wow.
because it was weird.
Whoa.
But it was like good weird. It was like Christmassy weird.
Yeah, it was like ultimate cheesy weird kind of stuff.
Oh, I like it.
And then the third one just had a terrible rhythm, so that's why I didn't like that one.
Oh, okay, because I voted for the third one.
And then you were wrong. The third one was the winner, I think, by a clear majority. Rosie Nimmo being a child again in the snow.
I think maybe he needed to know the backstory of that song. Because it made, I think the backstory of that song made it worth it.
Ian, what we did, we interviewed all of the candidates live on air, you know, asking them, obviously, did they support Glasgow Celtic, Glasgow Rangers, critical things from that point of view.
The candidates being who? The singers?
All Scotland, yes. They were all Scottish people, in fact. All three were from north of the border. I know, it's just the way it was.
It's where the talent is.
We're from Manchester.
I don't know where he's going with this. Do you want me to play Oasis? I mean, you know, I'm happy to do that, but, you know, it's a step away from that for the moment, Ian. We've moved on, okay?
Really? You haven't moved on. Every week are the same. Yeah, we won, you've lost.
You see that this is very sad, really. I mean, you know, we always had such times with our Geordie friends, etc. You know, anyway, back in the 1960s, actually, City won the league by beating Newcastle United. So that's just another step.
How about the game?
Well,
4-3.
Exactly.
It was robbed.
So let's move on then. To this interview that we actually did. And Rosie did have quite a heart-rending tale in which she'd had a fairly traumatic year. And, I mean, now, was she playing us? Was Rosie actually playing that sympathy card?
Well, I hope not, because...
No, no, it would be terrible. We'd have to sort of do it all again.
Why not? So you're right.
But it did work, I felt. And I had a fondness for Carol Lawler's Envy of Angels. I thought that was the one.
It was really good, yeah.
And Mr. Sledge, for you, Steve, we'll play it. I mean, we'll probably play the other two as well.
Oh, you don't have to.
No. I mean, you know, I'm looking at the schedule and I'm sure we can squeeze it into Ed Fortune.
I feel like you should just play it on repeat in the office in front of Steve's face.
No, probably not. I mean,
how'd you play a song in front of someone's face?
You hold the loudspeaker very close.
Did the winner declare that although being born in Glasgow, they supported Manchester City?
I really don't know where he's going with this, Shaylee. You know,
I know where I'm going with it.
Anyway, would you like to hear in full our winning track, Rosie Nimmo, Being a Child Again in the Snow?
Yes. He lied.
Slipping and sliding in the snow, and you know it won't last. Soon it will go. Laughing out loud, it's a snowball fight. You're a big kid again, sure feels right. Dog chases snowballs, it's vanishing cold air. Life and you love it, don't have a care. Ooh. You relish the prospect, no work for a week, as you play in the snow till you can't feel your feet. Or stay cozy and toasty in front of the fire. You can doze, you can daydream, sleepy as time. You know that soon all the snow will be gone. You'll have to put your sensible hat back on. Make important decisions and keep your face straight. Home in the dark after leaving the house before 8. But for now you can slip, you can slide in the snow. Play like a child, like there's nowhere to go. Cherish the moment, for soon it will go. Feel like a child again in the snow. Feel like a child again in the snow. Being a child, being a child. chat in the snow. Ooh, in the snow, I feel like a child again in the snow.
According to Ian Rankin, like it a lot, great voice, The Sunday Herald, a jazzy, rootsy, laid-back concoction, The Guardian, dynamic singer. Steve Stone, not a huge fan.
The voice is really nice.
That's really yeah. Ian Lennox, we had dread to ask, really. I mean, I've almost had to say he needs to spend more time with Ollie and Oboe and realise that, you know, life is good. How did you find it, Ian?
Quite nice. It was pleasantly different from most Christmas songs. Yeah. And
that might be one of the reasons it won.
I think so,
being sentimental, but so they all do. So.
And it's fair to say that when it comes to sentimentality, Ian doesn't score particularly high on that scale. I mean, it's, you want to visit Tyneside, you want to say, where's Scrooge then, pet? They'll point you in Ian Lennox's direction, really. It's okay. It's a way forward. And Ghost of Christmas Future Past, it's wonderful. You know, we know his heart's in the right place.
It's hardly Dickens, is it?
Fair point. I mean, I have worked on the script for this show several times, you know, to actually fine-tune it. And you know, if you don't want to compare me to the creator of Oliver Twist and Christmas Carol, then that's fair enough then, you know. Okay. No plum pudding for you, Ian, is all I would say. No plum pudding whatsoever. Or if there is...
Right. Yeah, so I'll get 3 points, that's all I care about.
Do you know that? You see, 27th of December... City actually played Newcastle in St James Park, and
I'm dreading it.
No, just enjoy the moment. That's all. I'm sorry.
I'll tell you what, Alex. If Newcastle happen to win or even get a point, I'm putting the phone to you.
That's it. He's coming for you, Alex.
You'll get a series of anonymous letters as well.
You just have to ease, but you know, I mean, it's Pep Guardiola says you just have to enjoy the whole time and then work through it. Okay, moving on. Steve, any sort of final thoughts or questions for Ian Lennox?
No, I think I'm good.
No, that's all right. I'm sure you are. You know, I was just wondering whether you had any questions for Ian Lennox to sort of work through that. Are you a reader? I mean, do you read books regularly, Steve? Or is it a case of, no, I'm a drummer? I mean, don't be silly. You know, I've got time
to
read.
How can one drum and read at the same time?
Exactly.
It's true. You've got to use all four limbs. You can't use your eyes as well.
Yeah. I mean, have you encountered any drummers over the years, Ian?
Yes, I've had lodges for drummers, yes.
Yeah. They're all horrendous. I had
about four or five musicians in me once, and one of them said, he's not really a musician, you know, he's a drummer.
Oh, that's horrendous. Yeah,
in a sense, I'm pleased you raised that point because, you know, I it would have been churlish for me to do so, but that's something which you must have been faced with many a time, Steve.
Drummer jokes. Drummer jokes are the worst. Yeah.
So, I feel like people who play the bass get that a lot.
Yeah, bass players are weird, though. They
But they
attract it.
They set the rhythm.
It.
They set the rhythm.
Drummers set the rhythm?
Yeah.
Drummers are definitely the rhythm powerhouses.
No, you're wrong.
We're the machines, we're the factory.
I know more about music than you do.
But of course.
But allowing for...
You probably know more about football than Alex with that.
Allowing for the notion of...
Like Alex is just like, nope.
Pa-rum-pa-rum-pump. But clearly, Bing Crosby.
I'm beginning to enjoy myself here.
That's what we're here for, Ian. Every Thursday morning, it's a bit like a service on the NHS, you know.
I might get out of bed now.
You've got to do that.
He's found his calling.
You've got another book to write, you know. It's all very good. But the little drummer, why did you pursue the drum career, actually, Steve, as opposed to...
Career?
Yeah, well, I mean, you're a musician, you work through that, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, I thought you was going to ask me why I started drums, but... career-wise, it just seemed like there's quite a lot of people that are... I'm going to get really serious now. There's quite a lot of people that are really unhappy in their jobs and they just go to work because it's like, oh, I'm going to pay the bills. Mm. And drumming is something that's fun. And I've always been kind of like a bit of a musical child. So I thought, like, I'm having fun drumming. I can maybe get good enough to do it as a career. And I thought, why not have fun while you're at your job?
Perfect. You know, says it all in so many ways. And in case you thought we were actually kidding, no, Crosby and Bowie, just for Ian, because I know it's your secret favourite, really, this particular one, Peace on Earth, and the Little Drummer Boy.
King to see, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum. Our finest gifts we bring, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum. Rum-pa-bum-bum, rum-pa-bum-bum. Peace on earth, can it be? Years from now, perhaps we'll see. Our see the day of glory. See the day and then live in peace. Live in peace. So peace on earth. Where we come. Every child must be made. Every child must be made to care. Care enough for his fellow man to give all the love that he can. I pray my wish will come true. It's for my child and your child too. Sing the day of glory. I play my day when men of good will live in peace, live in peace again. Then peace on earth can it be. Can it be?
Excellent. I, of course, do remember the time when that made it onto television and they both got together. And they also performed, I believe, in the Top of the Pop studio as well. But it was a Bing Crosby Christmas show. Within 6 months, both were dead. No, sorry, David Bowie waited for a few years, actually. Let me rephrase that. It's incorrect there. David
Bowie.
Bing Crosby passed.
Did Bowie die before he actually died?
It's a conspiracy theory, I have a case.
Paul McCartney all over again.
Oh, my goodness.
Ian. Bing Crosby and David Bowie, did you remember the day back in 1977 when that was produced?
No. Well, I like them both. I think them both. Bing Crosby had a lovely voice, I thought.
And David Bowie, of course.
If I could just add my own little microcosm of Christmas. On the way to the match, when I fell over, my feet went absolutely flying and I crashed in the road. My head missed the curb by about 6 inches. And I've been carrying two bottles of Prosecco in a carrier bag for a friend, and as I lay in quite considerable pain, I watched one roll under a park car, and I thought, I'm not going to be able to get that. Anyway, three very kind people came up to me and helped the old man to his feet, and I thought, well, that's Christmas for you.
I mean,
there's still humanity in us yet, Alex.
What happened afterwards at the game, I shall just pass over.
It did not take his pain away.
We move on from that. But this is you know, obviously a matter of some concern, because we don't lose midweek drivers and we always come back and get our man. It's a bit like being, you don't leave them behind in Vietnam, you know.
Definitely.
We come back and rescue folk from there. So did you actually put a Facebook post about this, Ian? Have I sort of missed
it? I haven't had time yet. I'm not sure I'm going to be bothered, actually.
He's too busy being in pain.
Hashtag selfie. In terms of, I mean, it's very cinematic, though. I mean, that the whole notion of seeing the bottle lying
that
away.
It's very descriptive.
It's kind of the equivalent of Citizen Kane and Rosebud, I feel, in many ways.
Yeah. I think probably worse.
There's no bottles of Prosecco in that, was there?
Behind the scenes, maybe.
You don't know what William Foster Kane got up to in his sort of Charles Randolph Hearst sort of days. Very peculiar. Astonishingly, we almost have to say goodbye to Shaley.
I do apologise, guys.
Right. Which means Steve Sharp is going to be the sole co-presenter for the final hour of the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Unless, of course, John Wenham drops by, which he's prone to do. I mean, you know, he looked a bit of a...
He likes to pop in every now and again when he's a bit cold.
Did you say John Lennon?
No, Wenham.
Yes, John Lennon is here right now.
I mean, he already killed off David Bowie about 25 years before he went.
Yeah, well, you know, we all have to go sometime. I just sort of move the date slightly. You know, it's an alternate reality and it does happen. You know, it's what happens in the Starburst thing. In the next part of the programme, Ed Fortune will be with us, the literary editor of Starburst magazine. We'll be finally running that story with Rachel from Coots Bank about philanthropy. Linda Papadopoulos will be talking about eHarmony, and Fiona Phillips will be joining us as well. Well, as a whole heap of other goodies between 9 and 10 on Siren Radio. Don't forget this evening, it's another edition of the Stone Tapes, Christmas festive edition of the Stone Tapes, just after 7 o'clock. Yep, that's all great for that. And Ian, would you like to ask Shaney those last two questions? Let's reverse the sort of situation now, as indeed you sort of bid farewell to Shaney. Will you be back next week, Shaney?
Possibly.
You just asked him one question. I was meant to ask them both, wasn't I? Have you had an interesting telephonic link?
No, it was horrendous. No, I'm joking.
There you are, you see.
It was brilliant. Thank you for having me.
I didn't have you, Alex.
Oh, look, just don't even go there, and it's inappropriate language in any way, shape, or form, so just step along from that.
Right. And will you be returning next week?
Possibly.
I think Ian's probably in the same sort of line. It's all right. It'll all work. Who have you got next? Oh, it's Arsenal away. Oh, well, there we are. That's three points there.
Once there was a way to get back home. Sleep pretty, darling, do not cry. And I will sing a lullaby.